All right, let's get into Word, shall we? Would you turn, please, to Matthew chapter 24? Matthew chapter 24. Now, we've been going through, as our springboard, Matthew chapters 24 and 25 for this series, because what has been so urgent on my heart is to prepare us to live and thrive through these last days. Now, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus gives kind of a breakdown or an outline of what to look for, what to do, how to do this, how to prepare, what not to do, how to live, what's expected, what's coming. And this is what we've been covering. This series is called Are You Ready? And I'm going to tell you, you can talk about it and you can teach on it and you can put messages out about it and you can say, are you ready? Please get prepared. And people will not be prepared, but I will not let that happen here. I will not let it happen. I'm going to tell you that things, again, I'm going to keep saying this because I want you to remember this. Things will get better, and they will continue to get better for a while. I don't care who's in office, right? Right now, for a time. Could be 6 months, could be 3-4 years, but it's going to get better. And then, whenever it is that it's going to happen again, we're going to crash. You're going to see a bigger crash than what Corona did. Now, Corona took our country down, didn't it? You saw how easy that happened, right? Yep. Wake up call, last day's wake up call for the church. God is trying to get our attention through a number of people giving messages for this time, because this is it. Both in the Word and the warnings that we have in the Gospels, but all throughout the Word, the preparation for the last minutes of the last days we are living in. We are watching things unfold according to the Word and prophetically right now that have not happened before in any other time since Jesus ascended to heaven. We are the front row seats for the end times. Okay, that's where we are. It is imperative for us that we don't not only get caught off guard, but we're ready for this. We're prepared for this in every way that we can be prepared. It is important that we understand that this is where we are. And because this is where we are, God's got things for us to do. Not only prepare us, but He's got things for us to do as individuals and as a body. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. So it is important that we pay attention. Today's message title is called Setting Priorities. Setting Priorities. Now, Jesus is really clear. God is clear on setting priorities. To believers, with us, to us, for us. I want to cover this today in the short time that I have. Please, Matthew chapter 24. This is going to be a little bit lengthy. Not too overdone, but I want you to hear this. Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 36. But of that day, speaking of the day of Jesus' return, and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. He's saying this to the church. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, church, believers, disciples of Jesus Christ, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Okay, so the Lord has given us this awareness that the time is coming and is going to be upon us. And I've gone through some of this already in the past several weeks of his return. And the end, really, is what you could call it. The end of this world, the end of this earth, the end of this time, the end of what this life is. He's preparing us for this. And the front row seating that we have to everything that is going on means we cannot stay silent, we cannot stay complacent anymore. For the last 70 to 100 years, you know, I've taken us through this progression of what things have changed. The church has gotten complacent and silent and quiet and not moved. We've kind of, and I'm going to give you a generalization, we've kind of wrung our hands and go, oh, Roe versus Wade is so bad, it's terrible, look what they're doing. And or homosexual marriage, or wow, there's all kinds of things that have become law. And the church hasn't stood up. We have not pushed back against the evil. And I'm right in there too. This is all of us. We, as the church, have a responsibility at this point and accountability at this point to do what the Lord gives us to do. God has priorities. Everybody's got priorities in their life, right? We all do. How do you know what priorities are the most important? A priority is what we deem as more important than anything else. So how do we know what's most important? Usually, it's what's screaming the loudest, isn't it? Hey, my car broke down. That's a priority. Hey, I got to get to work and I'm late. I couldn't get out of bed. Hey, the kids are all fighting illnesses and I've got to, you know, I've got to take authority and I've got to get into work. Or hey, my personal time with the Lord is more important than anything else. Or we've all got priorities in our life. Hey, I've got to get out for a motorcycle ride. Hey, that's a priority. Hey, all these things are important to us. They are priorities, and we make priorities in our life. But God has priorities for us. And a lot of times, you know, they're negotiable. It doesn't really matter. This is where the church has faltered and failed and not stood up for righteousness, for really sharing the gospel, for all kinds of different things. We haven't done, this is not to be condemning, this is just saying, these are the facts, this is the reality. We haven't done what we needed to do. The church is called to make a stand. That's why our country is in the condition that it is in, and it's declining, and it's continuing to decline. And it will. Unfortunately, and I love my country, but our country isn't here for the long haul. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven first. And the kingdom of heaven and God's priorities are supposed to be our first priority above everything. Well, how does that work? How does that fit? I mean, my car's broke down and, you know, da 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 da. I want to try to put this all in perspective. When we're setting priorities, realistically, and this is the bottom line, we're setting priorities, we're setting God's priorities for our life. And our priorities, our personal priorities, fit into His. That's how this works. I want to explain this a little farther. David said in Psalm chapter 40, verse 8, he said, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law, your word, is within my heart. He says, I delight to keep your priorities first in my life. and to do them. That's what I delight in. Now, he was speaking prophetically about himself and the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Referring to Jesus. But this also ties right into us, into our lives. God's priorities. God has priorities that are really loving him. I mean, it's a priority to him that we love him. That's his desire. It's our will and our desire that he love us, right? He feels the same way. God's a heart God. And that we love our brothers and sisters. No matter what happens, even if there are offenses or issues, problems or misunderstandings, you know, we are to deal with those things between ourselves. But ultimately, we are to love our brothers and sisters. We are to love people, our neighbors. I don't mean only in our neighborhood, but our neighbors around us, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. Because politics doesn't play a part in the kingdom. There's a lot of stuff I don't agree with going on. But we don't get to judge the person. Only God can do that. We can judge the actions and recognize, discern what's evil, what's good. But we can't judge the person. So we are to love them. That's God's priority for us. We're not always willing to do that. I like them, but I don't love them. Or I don't love them because they're pure evil. Well, that's a judgment. It is. We're not allowed to make judgments. Because when we do this, we're really judging the law and judging the Lord. Saying, we're over this instead of you. Now, I don't have time to break things down and go into things today as much as I would like to. But God's priority is to get his word into us, for us. Do you know it's... We really focus on equipping people here. We really do. This is my heart, and it has been a part of the vision of this church since before we planted, back 10 years ago or more, or whatever it was. My heart was to, all of you that went to CityQuake, my heart was to get our people. We planned with them. We partnered with CityQuake. We financially have given, and we have promoted, and I've encouraged our people to go for the simple fact of getting people equipped to share the gospel in power and love. That's it. It's a part of the equipping that we are called to do, along with our classes, along with teaching on Sundays, along with everything else that we do, is to teach you how to get equipped to go and do God's priorities. God's priorities are get his word into us. And his priorities, there's a lot of priorities for our life, and they're for us, but they're also for the world. His priority for us is to reach out and share this Jesus, the knowledge of this Jesus that we have, with the others around us. Do you know, there's so many people that don't know Jesus other than a swear word. They're all around us because God has been so rejected and so kicked out of our culture, our country, our society. I'm talking about the U.S. That there are people growing up and living lives and don't have not a clue that there's a God or that Jesus died for them so that they could be forgiven, so that they could have eternal life, so they could have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so that they could receive God's grace, so that they could know that he loves them and he's real and wants to manifest that in their lives. There's so many people that don't even know that. This is where the church has fallen down. That and not making stands for righteousness. You know, I taught a couple of weeks ago about civil law and moral choices. It's a moral choice for me to not shut down the church anymore. That's a moral choice. Yes, if Mrs. Whitmer says you can't meet, I'm going to meet. And whoever wants to can meet with me, and we're going to celebrate Jesus according to our constitutional rights. But it becomes a moral choice because the civil law or the executive order goes against what is moral? Not only constitutionally, but what is according to the Word of God. All right? And we're going to make choices like this all the time now, because it's going to get worse. I'm just telling you this. No matter who's in office, God's priorities for us are real, and they should be first. They're not. Most of the time, they're not. And can I just be real? Because I'm in here too. I don't always want to do God's priorities in my life first. Are you in shock?
Yes.
Have I just destroyed all your confidence in ministry and everything else? I don't always want to do or make God's priorities first in my life. Let me read this to you. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. Verse 28. Jesus said, "But what do you think?" Talking to his disciples. These are real disciples. "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and he said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'No, I will not.' But afterward he regretted it and he went. Then he came to a second and he said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'Well, I'll go. Of course I will.' And he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of the Father?" Which of the two made the Father's priority his own? The one who regretted and went and did. See, this is what happens when we have these priorities in our life. God's got priorities for us. Reaching others, touching others, loving others, getting the word in us, spending time with him, and on and on and on. And we say, "No, I won't. I've got a conflict with what I want to do. I'm conflicted." And so we don't do. And after that, we regret or we repent. And then we go and do, make his priorities ours. That is doing the will of God. That is doing, that's really keeping his priorities and making his priorities first place in our life. Even when we say, "Oh, nope, not going to do it." And then we go, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord," and go do. Okay? Because we do this a lot. A lot of us do. The ones that say, "Of course I will," and never do, haven't made his priorities their own. Now, as we go on, and I've only got 10 minutes, as we go on, let me explain how God looks at this. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives an allegory or an illustration about a man or a master or a king going to a far country who had three servants, and he brought them to himself and he said, "I'm leaving. I'm gonna be out of here for a while. So I'm going on a long trip. I got a world cruise going on. I'm coming back. I don't know when I'm coming back, but it's going to be a long trip. Here's some money. Here's 50 grand for you. Here's 20 grand for you. And here's 10 grand for you. You've each got ability. These are my priorities for you. Go and do business for me. Do what I ask you to do. You know me. You know my heart. Go and do for me what I ask until I come back." And he was gone a long time. He came back. Servants 1 and 2 went and did business or had done business. They did according to the master's heart and direction and instruction and priorities, and doubled, went and did business for him and doubled the investment that he'd made with them. And then there was one, servant number three, who went and took the master's money, didn't know the master, didn't care about the master. He was the son who said, I'll go, and didn't. And hid the money. He hid the investment. And he walked away and he said, I'm going to do my own thing. Then the master comes back after a long time. Surprise! I want to report. The first two that did the master's will and kept his priority were blessed. They were honored, they were blessed, and they were rewarded. The one who didn't, what happened was, his heart and selfishness and laziness and his own purposes were brought out in the open, and it cost him. And he was penalized and condemned. Now, each of those servants were given priorities and had the choice of making and taking on a responsibility and making that priority their own and fitting that into what their lives were or not. When we do this with the Lord, we take his priorities and we make his priorities ours in these last days. We're saying, I'm getting ready for your return. I know you're coming. And it's soon. I've got a responsibility that I'm going to take on. I'm going to do and make your priorities mine. I'm going to own them. I'm going to do them. I'm going to keep them. I'm going to be responsible. And I'm going to be blessed and honored. Now, I know that I'm accountable for the priorities of yours that I do keep. Recognizing these things is most important to us, because here's what happens. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, would you? I want to read this to you. I'm cutting a lot of this out today because of time, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but I believe you see the point. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want to start with verse 10. Paul is speaking to the church. To me, the church at Corinth is like the American church. Verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one pay attention or take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so he's speaking to believers who have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, right? Yes. Amen? Yes. Okay. We're going to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ, or we're not. Jesus Christ is a bare bones minimum for anybody to go into eternal life. But God has priorities for us in his kingdom to work in us and through us to build on that foundation of Jesus Christ. Paul writes in verse 12, now, if anyone builds on that foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day, he's speaking about the day of Jesus' return, will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and that fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. I want to give you something sobering to think about in making God's priorities our own at this particular time of the earth. Our eternal reward, and we have an eternal reward. There are rewards for us for in heaven that we are reaping or going to gain from what we build on this foundation of Jesus Christ. Our eternal reward is the sum total of keeping God's priorities as our own and living them out. I want to read that again. Our eternal reward is the sum total of keeping God's priorities first as our own and living them out. Everything that we build on that foundation of Jesus Christ, the only thing that lasts and the only thing that is rewarded is God's priorities in our life, making those first before anything else and doing those. Our life will fit into His priorities. He makes that happen. But it's where our heart is. James 4 verse 14, he says it really clear. He says, our lives are a vapor. And I'm going to tell you, when I was 20, I thought, life's forever. It isn't. I've had friends die all throughout my life. And I mean, it is poof. It is gone. There's no making any changes when it's over. There's no going back and redoing. There's no saying, wait a minute. We've got a hiccup here. I've got to go back and correct this or redo this. If we can keep focused on making God's priorities our priorities first. And like I said, His priorities are, they're all laid out in the Word. Loving God, loving people, loving our brothers and sisters. The petty stuff that goes on in a church doesn't belong there. Getting past that. Loving people that are, whether the Democrats or Republicans, well, all this politicizing everything, the nastiness that comes through the news media and everything else, we're still called to love. Yes, they've made themselves enemies of good, many of them, and of the Lord. We're still called to love. We've got to get over this stuff. And finally, God's heart and priority is for us to reach people with the knowledge of His kingdom and His righteousness and Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I hesitate on sharing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to do. Most of you know that Rosie and I came out of a really well-known Bible school. We loved it. The grace message changed my life 20 years ago, big time, over 20 years ago now. Changed my life dramatically and in my health, prosperity, freedom, preservation. I mean, I had joy like I hadn't had before. I found out I didn't have to get saved every week when I sinned. You know, all these over and over again. That Jesus died for all my sins, past, present, and future, but I could receive that forgiveness, receive the freedom from condemnation. I don't have to live penalized anymore. All these things that it wasn't a rote religious tradition or action that made me a good person or made me holy. It was my faith in Jesus Christ. All these things changed me. But what happened was, and I went on staff, Rosie and I both worked for the Bible school, and we were instructors, and we were blessed. And I'll always be grateful. I had the privilege of meeting with, working with, having dinner with big name ministers that you, many of you would know. And the common thread that ran through what we faced, what we saw, what we talked about in understanding the message of God's grace was that the focus had become all about receiving for me. What can I get? I've got this issue. I need this. I've got this. And it didn't go any farther for many, many people. It's part of why we couldn't get more than 10 to 15% out of the school to actually go into ministry. Still can't. Because the bent for people is usually, I've got this incredible message that has changed my life. And I've got to continue to get it and hear more and grow more. That's important. That is discipleship. But it has to come in and go out. It has to come in and go out to those around us and to this world with the message of the gospel. It isn't all about receiving for ourselves. It is receiving for ourselves and actually doing something with what we've received. Is this making sense?
Yes.
So God's priorities are for us to receive the message of his grace, and the liberty and the joy and the healing and the whole and everything that comes with it. His priority is to do something with it too. And continue to grow in grace, but can do something with it and touch somebody's life with Jesus Christ. We are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Most of us, I believe, are baptized in the Holy Spirit, clothed with the power of God. Got the power of God in us, got the power of God with us. There isn't a person we can't go up and pray for, minister to, speak with, touch, love on, that he does not move or will not move. Some will overtly reject. Most will receive. So it is important that we understand that this is only one, but one of God's main priorities for our life is going out with the armament of the keys of the kingdom in the message of the gospel for the world around us. It is the only thing that will change this mess and decline in our country. It's the only thing. There's nothing else that will change us at this point, and it is on us as the church. Okay? So we have to be willing. We might have said, and I've been there, we might have said, when the Lord said, go work in my vineyard, will you please, in the world? Uh-uh. It's too crazy, too bad, too mad. I don't want to. And I regretted it, and I went back and I said, yes, of course I will. So will we go and work in his vineyard? That's our choice. We have a decision to make. Will we make his priority to us, for us, make it through us also? This is what we're doing on the foundation of Jesus Christ for our eternal reward. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Would you stand with me? Anybody want to make that change today? Can you raise your hand? At least let me see. Anybody want to make the change? Come on up. Come on, right up here. Anybody else? Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. You are warriors. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody else? Because I'm going to ask you, really look at this. Now it's quarter after. If you need to get your kids, please go get them. But if you can leave them, great. Come on up. Keep coming. Keep squeeze right on up here. Step forward if you would. Make room. Anybody else? This is where the rubber meets the road. Do we want His priorities first in our lives? Hallelujah. Now this means that when He asks us or gives us His will or His priority, that that's what we're going to do. No matter what we think or how we feel or what's screaming at us or what isn't or what our flesh says, because the flesh always wages war against the spirit. I'm going to tell you, your spirits are jumping up and down. Your spirits are excited. It is through you that the power of God is going to be released like never before. It is you who are warriors in the kingdom of God. It is you who are committing to make His priorities yours, first and foremost, from now on. It is you who are building on that foundation for eternity right now with this step. It is you. Faithful servants. Is there anybody else who wants to join in this? I feel like I'm supposed to ask. If there is, get up here. Get up here if you can. I'll include you. Get up here. Can you come up? Okay. Anybody else? All right. All right, warriors. Close your eyes with me, please. Hallelujah. Would you say this with me? Father God, first and foremost, I repent for resisting your priorities for my life. And I give my heart to you. And I mean and commit right now to make your priorities first in my life. From now on, I trust you to make my priorities fit in yours. To care for me. To lead me. To work through me. Powerfully. Mightily. In boldness. And strength. And courage. And in the supernatural. From now on, prompt me to make the steps you want me to make. And help me live this out from now on. I'm all yours, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There's been a change. There has been a change. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Well, Lord, I thank you for today, for reaching right into our lives and our hearts, doing what you want to do, and getting us continually ready to live through these last days, keeping your priorities as our own and living out what you've called us to do in every way. And we love you, and we are blessed. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have an awesome, life-changing week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.